Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Ephesians chapter number 3. We begin reading in verse number 20. If you remember the first week we started, we began in verse 13 and talked about certain aspects of those things. But then verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for this time that we have to gather around your table, thy word, Lord, to open it up and to feast on it, Lord, to be nourished by it. And I pray tonight that we'll be filled, Lord, by thy scriptures and by thy spirit. I pray that you'll help me as I stand, not only for the strength to preach, but Lord, I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be stirred in such a way, not through the preacher, but Lord, through the preached word. And Lord, that we'll go out and we'll live a life that others could see Christ in us. And we'll thank you for what you do. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I've preached the last couple of weeks on this, on the theme, "Unto him be glory in the church." And 2 weeks ago, I preached on a church that preaches. And I want you to know we're to be a preaching church. I believe that's why the pulpit is in the place that it's in the very center where everybody is looking at it, and the pews are turned in such a way that this is the central focal point of the church, because the center of all of this church coming together is the preached word of God. Last week we talked about a church that prays, and we looked at the New Testament, the early church there in the book of Acts chapter number 4, and we saw how the place was shaken when people began to trust the Lord and rely upon him. Tonight I want to preach on a church with a purpose. A church with a purpose. And I believe we ought to have a purpose. I'm not talking about writing some kind of a purpose statement. In all honesty, I believe our purpose statement has been written, and I hold it in my hand. The very purpose we exist is to propagate the gospel, is to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a bright spot in a dark and a dying world, to be a place where we come together, to have a building where the church comes together with a purpose. That purpose is to come and to be encouraged, to be exhorted, to be edified. It's a place certainly for the church to be edified, for the Savior to be exalted, and for the sinner to be brought under conviction, to be evangelized. And when we think about that, we have to realize that's our purpose. You know, so many people think that they just become a part of a church because it's the right thing to do. But you become a part of a church. When you become a part of it, you become a part of its purpose. You're not here just to take up a spot on the pew. While we're grateful for that aspect of it, and we wish every spot was filled, every service, it will be as we fulfill God's purpose in our lives. Jody and I have talked so much about our church and our congregation, if you will. I mean, you have to realize some things. We're in a location, certainly that's a more difficult location. We've had folks that's come by, and you wouldn't believe the people that we're able to speak with throughout the week just out on the streets right here. We'll never know till we get to heaven the impact we've had on some people. You'll never know. The people that have come in and gotten saved, and then you don't see them anymore, but if they truly got saved, you're going to meet them in heaven. Now, we wish they were here. We wish they were gaining ground in the church, coming into the church, and, and growing in the Lord and singing in the choir and getting ready to teach Sunday school classes and going out and knocking on doors. We wish that were happening. But we have to thank God for what has happened. And we have to look sometimes, and instead of paying so much attention to what's not happening, we have to remember what has happened. And it encourages you. And the Bible, you remember David was told to encourage, he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes we just need to look around and see what we do have. Do you know how many churches are falling apart? Do you know how many churches are decreasing weekly? I'm talking about fundamental Bible-believing churches. We may not be busting at the seams, but I tell you, God's given us favor, hasn't He? And we're seeing some steady growth, and we're seeing some wonderful things happen, and we're seeing some people saved. And so we have to realize that our purpose, it may take us a while. It may be that we never see this place filled up, but our purpose is to be faithful to God. So how are we going to fulfill this purpose? Well, number one, we're to spread the gospel. A church with a purpose is a church that spreads the gospel. I want to show you a great example of this in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he writes about this church, and he has wonderful things to say about the church at Thessalonica. And as I read this book, I get encouraged when I read it and as I go through it. And he talks about this church that would be the model church, the model congregation of people, if you will. And I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 5, "For our gospel came unto you in word, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia," which was where this church was. But look what it says in verse number 8. "For from you, from this congregation, from this local church, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Here was a church with a vision, there's no doubt. This is a pioneering church. And out of this church, the gospel was being sounded out. You know what this is saying? Everywhere you went, you sounded the gospel. Now, who's he writing to? To the pastor? No. He's writing to the church. He's writing to the people that were sitting on the pews or on the stumps or on those benches or on the ground. But the people that were a part of the local church at Thessalonica, "For from you sounded out the word of God." Tonight, if we're going to bring glory to God in the church, unto Him be glory in the church, we must be a church that sounds out the gospel message, that sounds forth the word of God, that tells the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, that means right here where we are, but also in the places where we work. Not only in the places where we work, but in the places where we shop, in the places where we go to visit, in the hospitals and in the funeral homes when we're there, when people are grieving, we have a message of hope that Christ can help us through these things. The gospel message is something that must be sounded out. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, verse number 18, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world." You realize what happens when one soul gets saved and then they reach another soul and then another soul is reached. You never know, but the word of God may sound out from you and go all the way around the world. Can you imagine what Edward Kimball, what kind of reward he has in heaven? Have you ever heard of Edward Kimball? How many have heard of Edward Kimball? 2, 3. That's what I thought. Have you ever heard of Dwight Lyman Moody, D.L. Moody? Heard of D.L. Moody? Edward Kimball is the man that led D.L. Moody to the Lord. He was just a Sunday school teacher. He wasn't a preacher, wasn't a pastor. He is a Sunday school teacher, had a burden for Dwight L. Moody. And he thought, I got to win that boy to the Lord. Dwight L. Moody was a shoe store clerk. And so he prayed, God help me, give me the wisdom, give me the right time, give me everything. And he stood and walked up and down, paced the sidewalk before he ever went in. But he went in right at the right time, because when he went in, Moody was in the back all alone. And he was able to go back there and he was able to lead Dwight L. Moody to the Lord. And you know what happened with Dwight L. Moody, don't you? He touched the world with the gospel. Now we look and we think, Dwight L. Moody was a great man, but Dwight L. Moody would have been nothing if there was no Edward Kimball to bring him to the Lord. Out of him sounded forth the word of the Lord. The cause he reached Dwight L. Moody. Multitudes were saved. Multitudes were saved. What a man Moody was. So we're to spread forth the gospel. There's a passage of scripture that we find in the Old Testament. And I want you to turn there with me. I believe it's Psalms 19. Psalm 18, Psalm 19. We'll look together. Psalm 19. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, verse 2 says, uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, talking about the heavens and the firmament. Nature itself teaches us there is a God. The Bible says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Then I want you to take note of these things that it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's the power of the word of God. It'll keep you right. But you see what it does? It's perfect. It converts the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. It helps us to understanding the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous, and it's more to be desired than gold, than fine gold, than the honey and the honeycomb. It reveals our secret sins, our secret thoughts and faults. And it also keeps us from presumptuous sins. That's the word of the Lord. We need to be guided by the word of the Lord, but we need to be giving the word of the Lord. Today when I was able to talk with a fellow out here and talk about the things that he was going through, and my, he was going through some things. What a precious privilege it was to open the Bible and say, this is what you need. Here's a man that had trusted the Lord, but boy, he was battling things. And we all have. And I told him, I said, look, sir, there's not a person I know that don't have certain battles going on in their life right now. Some may seem more difficult than others, but to that person, it's one of the most difficult things they've ever faced. I said, they're facing it and you're facing it. But sometimes God has to get us to the end of ourselves. And it's only then that we find the strength we need to live our life. You know, that's the Bible. That's not, I didn't say any great, I didn't have great words of wisdom. You know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, and nor would I want to be, nor would I have a desire for that. You know, because so much of that doesn't line up with the Bible and some of the ways that they do things. I believe there's Christians that help with those things, and it's a wonderful thing, but my mind don't work that way. But I can give them the Bible, and the Bible will help. Out of us needs to sound forth the word of the Lord. So we're to spread the gospel. Number two, we're to win souls. That's a church with a purpose. Why are we here? To bring others to Christ. I believe that's the very reason that God left us in this world, was to help to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 30, you know this verse, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And tonight, I believe our purpose is to bring people to the Lord. Now, you say, isn't that same thing as sounding out the gospel? No, it's giving the gospel message. But then we've got to bring people to Christ. Amen. See, it's easy for me to say certain things about what the Bible has to say, but then I must bring people to the understanding that they are a sinner. Do you realize nobody's going to get saved if they don't realize they're lost? If they don't understand that they're a sinner and what that sin brings in their life? We must help people to see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ and to help them to understand that the only hope they have, not only in this world, but in the life after this life, is Christ. When I think about my soul winning, I think about how poor of a job I've done in fulfilling God's purpose with my life. May the Lord help me. I want you to look with me also in the book of Daniel, chapter number 12, verse number 3. Let's begin verse number 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The Bible says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The Bible teaches us that when we lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be a bright spot in this world. But I want you to know, even when you die, your light won't stop shining. The Bible says that they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Your influence on somebody will help somebody else to be influenced, somebody else. But look, what you've done will never go away, because not only will there be influence from one generation to the next generation, but there's going to be somebody in heaven forever that wouldn't have been there, possibly, had you not led them to Jesus. I believe that's the purpose of a New Testament church. I believe it's to spread the gospel and to win souls, to help people to understand the need of people, of bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another passage in the book of James, chapter number 5, in verse number 20. I believe this is really dealing with believers. It says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And there's a proverb that says something so wonderful. Proverb 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." And while we're not trying to act like people have not sinned, I believe when we have the love of God living in us, we won't be so busy to look at somebody's sin as to help them to see in their sinfulness they need the Savior. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Isn't that amazing? It's a wonderful verse. What's the purpose of the church? Do you think it's to help your next door neighbor to know Jesus as Savior? You're part of this church. Do you think it's to help the people that live on this street, the street over there, and the street back here, and in the apartments back here? It's our purpose. That's why we're here. It's the only reason we're here, is to help bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to make $1 million. It's not to try to be a success in the business world. God may give you that success, but I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. If success is your goal, then you have erred. God's the goal. God has given people wealth. There's no doubt about that. But even that's to be helping the work of the Lord. But please understand, a church with a purpose is a church that spreads the gospel. It's a church that wins souls. And then thirdly, it's a church that trains others. It's a church that trains others. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, if you'll turn there with me, chapter 2, verse number 2. It's hard to believe, but we're just about done. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 2, notice what the Bible says. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Everything that you learn from the Bible, we're responsible in teaching others. The Bible teaches us that there's four groups here, in a sense. There's Paul, then there's Timothy, then there's faithful men, then there is others. And Paul was to teach Timothy, Timothy was to teach faithful men, and faithful men were to teach others. And that's what we're doing here as a church. You want to know the series that we just went through on becoming a first century church? You're now responsible to help others to understand what a first century church is. It's a Bible church. Everybody wants to have a 21st century church. But I'm convinced what we need is a first century church. Now, there's some great churches doing great things, and they're doing it through the methods of the 21st century. Now, I think the methods always have to be Bible. You heard the lesson, means change. I like to go to Kingsport riding an airplane. 100 years ago, I couldn't have. But the means have changed, haven't they? Point A, point B has not changed, but the means have changed. But when it comes to methods, and there is a difference. Methods and means are not the same. Methods always have to line up with the Bible. Always. Because God has given us the biblical method in how to get it done. And we need to stay with that. But here is the method. Paul to Timothy. Timothy to faithful men. Faithful men to others. It's the ministry of multiplication. That's what it's all about. One teaches two. Those two go out. They teach two. So you've got four. So you really, in all honesty, you've got seven doing the work, right? Four, two, one. And then those four, just like he was talking about the other night in winning souls. The same goes for teaching others. You want to know why so many people are wrapped up in churches that waver on the truth, that are just kind of satisfied because they've got big crowds, but they're not really happy? And they say, well, you know, we've got great crowds, things, but it's just not, just things just don't seem to be right. You ever hear that? I'm talking about good churches. Because we've tried to change what the Bible has to say. And how, and it, by the way, it's just like, it's the same in every church. You know what you got? A handful that does it all. Now, pardon me, but I'm telling you the truth here. There's a handful that does it all. You don't know how many goes out on visitation when we're having visitation. You're not going to have more than 7 or 8. Can 7 or 8 reach our city with the gospel of Christ? No. We say, well, I can't go out. Well, maybe you can't come out on Monday nights, but everywhere you go, you can be a gospel witness. You can go out that way. You go to the store. There's not one of you here that doesn't go to the store sometime, or Walmart, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody goes to Walmart at least once a year. But see, that's what it's all about. So what we're trying to do is we want to train others. I've said, and I'm going to tell you something, and some of y'all are going to go, but I mentioned it before. My desire is to have Wednesday night workers' meetings at 6:25 to 6:45. You say, well, we're going to discuss. It's going to be a time of training. All of our teachers will be able to hear a very brief outline of our Sunday school lesson, because they're teaching other classes, so they're not getting in on it. So those that are teaching smaller classes all the way will be able to hear what's been going on in this class. But then we'll be discussing things that we have coming up. Be teaching you why we're doing things, you know. I can sit and talk. Brother Mickey and I can sit and talk all day, but it's got to go further than that. Amen. It's got to go further than that. Look, what if I were to die tomorrow? Just close up shop? No. You go on. What do you want to look for? Hopefully you'll look for a preacher that's going to stand and teach the truths from the Bible. But somebody's got to jump in there and do certain things. What if, now, Lord forbid, what if Brother Mickey and I had some kind of a tragedy? I mean, nobody likes to think about stuff like that, but it happens every day. Who's going to step up? And when you step up, what are you going to do? Try to come in here and lead it like a dictator? Or are you going to say, we've got to go back to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say? Hopefully you've learned some things like that. See, that's what it's about. It's about training others. A church is not based upon their pastor. A church is based upon their book. Amen. And dear friends, if we will build this church on this book, regardless of what storms howl at us, we'll have a solid foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And by the way, this book is Christ. Amen? Amen. The church with a purpose. And I hope that this coming year is the greatest year in fulfilling God's purpose with our lives as individuals and corporately as a church, and seeing people saved and seeing great things happen. So many things I really thought would be taking place right now, but God's just showing me in His time, things will happen. But He's putting things in my heart. More than just in my heart, He's putting a desire for me to try to fulfill what He's showing me. And by the way, I'm not showing you anything that I've not learned from somebody else. It's not original. I've not come up with anything. Even my sermons, I listen to others preach and I write down little things, and most of the time I hear something and I say, I'm going to go dig on this, and you know. And I thank God for influence in my life. But I want to take that influence and I want to influence others biblically. Let's pray together. We love you, Lord. We know you love us. We know that you desire for us to fulfill your purpose with their lives as individuals, as a church. Lord, tonight I pray that we've been encouraged in that way and helped. And I pray, Lord, that we'll go further for thee.